Welcome to the Chamber Connection. I'm Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce on a beautiful Chamber of Commerce November 1st morning. I hope everyone had a great weekend and had fun with the kiddos for Halloween. And we're going to jump right into it today. We've got Sarah LeFevers. Sarah is the Executive Director of the Greater Pensacola Chamber Foundation. Welcome to Chamber Connection, Sarah.
Thank you, Todd.
Absolutely. So let's jump right into it.
Okay.
First, just tell us about the Greater Pensacola Chamber Foundation and your role and what's happening, the new things that are happening with the foundation.
So we're super excited with what's happening with the foundation. The foundation's been around for a few years. I think most people are familiar with our WFDA, or our West Florida Defense Alliance, or our Leadership Pensacola program that has been in existence since, I believe, 1983, correct?
Yes.
And so those programs come up under the foundation, but here just within the last year under your leadership, Todd, and with the great staff that we have and what we're doing with trying to prepare for the future, we realize that with the foundation, there's a lot of opportunities. And so I'm very grateful to be able to step into this role to help lead alongside you, the foundation, and looking forward to our most recent addition to our programming, which is Pensacola 2030. So I'm excited to dive into that today.
Yes. So Pensacola 2030 is something we unveiled last week at our annual meeting. And let's jump into that.
Okay.
Talk about what Pensacola 2030 is, how it was developed, and who's involved.
Yeah, so Pensacola 2030 is basically our strategic plan for the next few years. And it really is a model that we've used from the Florida Chamber. They launched their Florida 2030 program back in the beginning of 2020. And even prior to that, there were conversations that our chamber and multiple chambers around the state were involved in to identify key areas that the business community should have a part to play in helping to advance in our communities to create a wonderful business climate, but also a great quality of place for everybody within those communities. And so I remember actually one of my very first meetings that I went to as part of the chamber family was to a 2030 meeting down at Andrews Institute with a bunch of community leaders and officials. And we were just kind of wrapping our heads around what it was. And it seemed like a very audacious opportunity. And I think it was a little bit just trying to figure out, okay, how do we even get started with something like this and scale it down to our community? But, you know, with the collaboration and the conversation continuing, obviously with everything that happened with COVID and in the beginning of 2020, kind of put a pause on the process, but also throughout that time frame of all us being at home and not being able to focus on our events and so forth, we had an opportunity to really delve into the research and the virtual convening with stakeholders. And we surveyed our business community and asked, what are the areas that you feel like the Pensacola Chamber should advocate in and help increase in our community? And that's where we got our five focus areas, which are military, workforce, economic well-being, also known as quality of life, community health, and economic growth and sustainability. So those are kind of our five focus areas. So having decided on what those focus areas would be, we then started using our policy subcommittees to convene all of the chamber members and people in our community that are involved in these areas that are doing the day in and day out work and are focused on increasing the value of these areas in the programming and resources. We convene them together on a monthly basis and started figuring out what were the specific things we wanted to focus on, what was the current data, of course, partnering with the Haas Center and Achieve Escambia and the Florida Chamber scorecard to get a lot of those data points to help us figure out, okay, so this is where we are, so where could we possibly be by 2030? And so we did a lot of math, which is not my strong suit, but our team did a great job figuring out, okay, based on our projected growth, this is where we know we could be in 2030. But then we went a little bit beyond that with some of these goals and said, okay, well, some of these goals need to be at 100%. Whether we get there in 2030, 2040, 2050, this goal will always be 100%, such as kindergarten readiness and third grade reading skills and making sure that our kids are ready and prepared for the workforce that they choose to go into and making sure we have a diverse workforce. Those things are important. And so we weren't comfortable settling on anything less than 100%. So definitely have some lofty goals in here, but that was kind of the process of getting this document, this blueprint, the first step in this process together. And it's just been so much fun learning from the experts in our community. There's so many different people who are talented and passionate about our community, and just being able to be a small part and watching them come together and convene and figure out these data points and where we want to go has been an awesome opportunity to be a part of that process.
Yeah. And the way I look at this, yeah, I've heard for years that our community needs a strategic plan.
Sure.
And to me, this provides kind of the framework for that strategic plan with some key goals, and the people who need to be involved to achieve those goals, and really how we plug in the business community to really work on these issues and bring about change and make Pensacola the best place to grow a business, start a business, start a family, retire, do all those things that we want Pensacola and Escambia County to be. So now that you've gone through this process, you've developed the goals, you've got these down on paper, and these are available for anybody who wants to see them. What are the next steps? What are you going to be doing now to start doing the actual work?
Sure. Well, now the real work actually begins. So the blueprint was the first step, and it was a lot of work, a lot of convening, a lot of research, but that was just the first step, right? And so now what we plan to do is this week, we're going to be sending out a survey. We've done a community landscape analysis, our chamber team has, and tried to identify everyone in our community that we know is playing a part in one of these five areas. And we have a survey we're going to send out to them to ask them, have you heard of Pensacola 2030? As far as these data points, where can we go? What are your needs? What are the resources that we can help get for you? Because like I said earlier, the chamber's not doing all this work, right? We just want to provide a platform and an opportunity to get more resources for the people who are doing the work and trying to get to those goals as a community. So it's a very inclusive project. So if you don't receive the survey by Wednesday, please reach out to us at the chamber. We want to have everybody involved in this. I think that's one of the things that makes this really unique, is it is a very inclusive opportunity for our community to really come together and be aligned. So that survey will just help us to identify people's key roles, what their services are, make sure we have the right contact information. And then from there, in the next 90 days, we will be having siloed information sessions. So each focus area will have its own session where we have a facilitator who will come in and help us look at through the goals, look through the action steps and tactics that we've identified, and then figure out what are our next steps in the next 90 days, in the next 6 months, the next year, and so forth, and kind of building on that. And then they'll reconvene quarterly following that, just to make sure we're on track, and that if there are new things that are identified, that we have a idea of what's going on and how we can start helping in those areas as well. But again, it's just to make sure that we have the people doing the work in the room. We're supporting them. That's our role as a chamber, to support people doing the work, help build them up, get the resources and so forth. And then from there, we have an annual scorecard. Our consultant who's been working with us has created that so that we can measure these data points every year. And then we'll be reporting those out in our annual report for the foundation in December of every year. And so we're really excited. December 2022 will be our first annual report. And we're really hoping that, you know, even though that this is going to be the first year and we're going to be getting up and started with the process and with the resources and figuring all this stuff out, and it's going to be obviously a fluid process and we're going to be learning as we go, but be able to hopefully report some progress in some of these areas in December of 2022.
Yeah, and I think that's important to really hammer that home, is that this is going to be reported every year. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know, get this information out so people can see where we're making progress, where we might be stagnating or not making the progress that we want to make, and then we can, you know, focus resources, you know, shift around, do what we need to do to really improve on those areas. But transparency is very important. Absolutely. In this process. You know, as you mentioned, we want the entire community involved, and the scorecard will help everyone understand where we are. We've got the goals that we're working towards, but, you know, we know it's incremental. It's going to take time to get there. But having this scorecard and reporting it out every year is an important part of the process.
Agreed, agreed. And we will have that scorecard. And the Florida Chamber has been involved in this process with us and is so supportive and helpful. And they've allowed us the opportunity to share the Escambia County data that they have on their scorecard on our website. So that data will be live. And then the data that's not there until we can figure out how to get it there will be reported in the annual report and kept up with some of our local partners. But we're excited to have the majority of that data live on our website where people can go and look at that. Also, our data resources. So like you said, full transparency, a copy of 2030, and then information on how to get involved because we want everybody involved in this.
Right. So, yeah, you mentioned the Florida Chamber Foundation and the resources and people that they have. We were part of a group that went over to Tallahassee a few weeks ago and met with them. Talk about some of the takeaways. I know you took a lot of notes.
I did. I wish I had brought them.
I know we both left that meeting very inspired and motivated to really get into this work. But talk about that meeting.
Yeah. So the meeting with the Florida Chamber was phenomenal. Again, just so thankful for their partnership and their guidance in this process. And I think the one thing with their Florida Foundation, very similar to what we want to make ours, is just there to be a support to the chamber and to the business community. And the way that we do that is identifying what are the things in our community that hold people back from having a livable wage, that getting to work, having access to healthcare, access to broadband so that their kids can get their homework done at home, and just like these different things that maybe you and I, we don't really think about because we're blessed to be able to have these things, and we're able to have a car to get us to work and the resources we need to help us thrive as much as we want to, right? But not everybody in our community does. And the Florida Foundation has just been so great with their Prosperity Project and with their Gap Map and identifying, why is it that not everybody can get to work? Why is it that not everybody has access to healthcare, or just those different things that I don't know that the business community has always looked at, or maybe it's been viewed as maybe not the business community's role, but as an employer and as a community leader, it is our role because we want our employees to thrive, because when our employees thrive, our businesses thrive. That when they want to show up to work, we have a better outcome, right? And so just identifying those things and figuring out how we can help as the Chamber Foundation support getting access to the things that our community needs, and that everybody has an opportunity to start a business, that our minority-owned businesses have the capacity that they need, that they have the skill training they need, the network that they need, and that, you know, just looking at things like that that maybe we haven't looked at before 2020, and just how to do that and the appropriate avenues. And they're killing it. The Florida Chamber is absolutely killing it. So they definitely gave us some ideas that we're going to be implementing here in the next few months as we go through this process. Obviously, partnering with them is going to be huge to our success. And then just utilizing those resources such as the Prosperity Project and being active in that and looking at the Gap Map and trying to see where our community, what zip codes in our community need more resources and more help, and focusing there first is going to be key. So it's they're amazing. I couldn't say enough good things about them.
Right. And one of the big takeaways for me from that meeting was that a lot of this work is being done in other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. So they would reference, you know, this is happening in Orlando, this is happening in Miami. So we'll be able to get a lot of best practices from them, and they can share, you know, how it was done, the people that have been doing the work. So, they can help connect us. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, you know, this really, you know, we're not going to be reinventing the wheel here.
No.
We're going to be doing things that are proven and have shown results, and that we can replicate here, but it is important work because we want to build that community that make Escambia County the best it can be. Mm-hmm. Really improve workforce and we both have kids. We want them to grow up here, have a great education, go to college, and then have the option be like, okay, I want to be in Pensacola. I don't want to go to Atlanta or New Orleans or Birmingham.
Absolutely.
And we want Pensacola to be the place to be for our future, and that'll provide the stable workforce we need, and provide the opportunities for expansion that'll help our community grow.
Absolutely.
So you talk about again, how people can get involved, because I think it's important to just kind of reinforce that, you know, this is a community-wide effort.
Sure.
It's been chamber members up to this point, but we're really opening it up. We want everyone at the table. I mean, we are blessed at the chamber to have members from our largest employers to our mom and pop stores to government and education and nonprofits. But, you know, talk about folks who may not be chamber members, but want to be involved. How can they get involved?
Yeah. So it's the first step, reach out to us at the Chamber Foundation. My email is slefevers@pensacolachamber.com. You can call us at the chamber office or go to our website, pensacolachamber.com. Go to the foundation page and there's information as well as my email and phone number that you can get a hold of me. I will give you as much information that we have as far as the upcoming meetings and how to get involved. I think the first step is participate in the convening. If you're providing services or resources to our community in any of these areas, or maybe it's, you know, you look at these titles and you're okay, economic well-being. Well, are you trying to help us reach our goal of cutting childhood poverty in half and creating a sustainable infrastructure, helping with affordable housing or food insecurity, things like that? Reach out to us. We want to make sure that we're a support to you, that we have resources for you. And then, you know, our goal, one of our goals in bringing everybody together is to have that aggregated data that, you know, we've got so many people working in silos. And so for the first time, we want to bring all that data to go together to show where are we really, where are we progressing? Because Pensacola is progressing in areas that's not always talked about. So if we bring all that together and move forward aligned, again, just as a North Star, but not doing all the work, giving the support and the credit to the people who are, then, you know, I think that that can advance us in several ways. So that's one way. The second way is we are going to be needing a volunteer force as we move forward. Again, providing resources to the people doing work is going to give us opportunities to involve our businesses and our community and volunteering with these organizations and helping mentor. We just launched our Mentor Pensacola program for this year last week. We have 26 matches, which is amazing. And so we're going to be needing mentors. We're going to be needing resources for our kiddos and so forth. So we're going to have a volunteer force and we're excited about getting that started. We're in the beginning stages of that as well. But if you want to volunteer with the Chamber Foundation, reach out to us. It's a great opportunity as well.
Yes, absolutely. And so we have this plan, we have the goals, but something we've learned just in the last really 2 years is that things change and sometimes they change quickly. Yeah. So talk about how things might evolve even within you know, the next 8 years plus with 2030.
Yeah, so it is a fluid document. Again, it's here to provide a strategic plan and a North Star to our community, but it's also fluid because, as you said, things change a lot and quickly, sometimes without us even realizing it. So as we track this data and as we continue to convene and listen, I think that's a big part of what our role will be, is just to listen to the needs of the community. Things may change on here. You may see more goals added or goals shifted. The goals aren't going away, the ones that we've identified. If we aren't doing well, we're not just going to erase it and act like it never happened. We're going to be transparent and show that we're just not doing well and try to fix it as much as we can. But definitely as things change, we're probably going to need to add some things to here or change some things in the blueprint. But that, I want the community to know that that's okay. You know, it's okay to change those things. And, you know, we are just looking forward to the opportunity to, again, provide the direction and then see where it goes from here. But we want it to be community led. And so it's important for us not to be super sold on what we've put together here in the last few months, but to allow the opportunity to change as our community changes and progresses.
Right. And I think it's important, and you mentioned this, is, you know, we at the chamber aren't going to be doing the work as much as we are.
We wouldn't sleep, Todd.
Yeah, I know. There's only so many hours in the week. But, you know, we're convening, bringing those folks together who are doing the work, making sure that we're moving together in an organized fashion, and, you know, having these goals will help us all move together. Because if you look at this, I don't see anyone out there that would say, well, you know, these aren't good goals. I mean, these have been well researched. We've had the experts at the table for the last 10 months working on this. So this is not to step on anyone's toes, like we're going to come in and take over and start doing the work that you're doing.
No, thank you.
This is not what we're doing here. We're really want to be that organization that convenes, brings people together, and helps support the work that is being done, but moving it towards these goals that I think we can all agree upon.
Agreed. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's tremendous. You know, when we started talking about this, you know, this year, and seeing it all come to fruition as quickly as it has been very inspiring, and really looking forward to getting this work started and, you know, moving our community forward.
Yeah.
Also wanted to just, you know, talk about, so the chamber will still be involved with advocacy efforts.
Yes.
But, you know, you've mentioned the advocacy team was working on this a lot. Talk about a little bit of that transition,
yeah.
How the, you know, advocacy will be more focused on kind of the short-term issues that may deal with session, whereas this is more the long-term.
Yeah. So in my old role as director of external affairs, advocacy, number one job description, so much fun too. We really enjoy our policy committee meetings and meeting with those leaders in policy in our different sectors in our business community. And one of the things we did was at the beginning of this year, we created a new structure to our policy committee. And one of the components of that is having issue-driven subcommittees led by the experts in our area. And that has proven to be so successful. But not only did we tack on to them the typical policy job description of creating our business community's 2021 legislative priorities, but we also had tacked on the Pensacola 2030, right? So at the time that they were looking at our short-term legislative priorities, they were also looking at the long-term goals. So it's been a long year for our subcommittees, but they have put in so much work. And I just want to say, you know, on here, I'm so thankful for each and every one of them, for our policy chairs, for Honey Harris and Ray Walker, who have led that. So thankful for them. But since we've got this blueprint, we find it very important to have the convening groups that are going to meet quarterly focus just on the data tracking, the resources, making sure we have everything on track and that we're being transparent and doing what we need to do for our business community, which will be operated through our foundation, as we said. With the advocacy, they are going back strictly to those legislative priorities and focusing on 2022 session, making sure that we represent the needs at the state level, but also at the local level, our county commission and city council, our business priorities that are short term. And so they are, I think, a little bit thankful to be going back just to the policy aspect. Most of the people in those committees are policy driven. Their jobs are in policy at some level. And so they're very thankful for that. And then the community focus will be through our foundation that will meet quarterly and just make sure that we're on track and that we're doing everything that we need to do for them. So that will be a little bit of a split for them. But we've already been super involved with session already. As you mentioned, we've been the committee weeks there in Tallahassee, meeting with our delegation members, making sure that they know what our priorities are for the upcoming session. We'll be back for Northwest Florida Days, which we're excited about. And so that will be, I know you'll be very heavily involved in that. And so I'm excited about that. But it's the policy committees have been tremendous.
Yeah. I think that's what's exciting to me is we've got short-term things we're going to be working on, you know, in the policy area, but we've got the long-term with 2030 and really getting into community work as well. So
yeah.
Real quickly before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Contact information for you and how to get involved.
Yeah, so my phone number, 850-356-8735. Feel free to reach out at any time. Email slefevers@pensacolachamber.com, and you can visit our foundation page on the pensacolachamber.com website.
Awesome. Well, Sarah LeFevers, Executive Director of the Greater Pensacola Chamber Foundation, thanks for joining us today.
Of course.
A lot of great information, a lot of stuff that